Well, you know, the decision to have the form evolve very slowly, there's really just about three variations on that, was really kind of almost a branding thing. I mean, so as not to be bored, I knew I wanted to come at text and image in a number of different ways, but I figured I could do that if I kept the form pretty similar, because then I'd be, you know, they'd know it was one of mine.
This is a fairly wordy art exhibition. There's mm-hmm. a lot of text involved, and it's kind of snarky. and for a words guy like mm-hmm. myself, I really appreciate that. Where does that come from with your background?
You know, it's my voice. I'm a reader. You know, and I have an aunt who swears I should have been a writer. You know, and in a sense, I'm not a frustrated one, but I like writing. You know, I like the process, and yeah, I can use words in I know what my voice is, you know, and it was a long, long road to get to the text being in the art. You know, I used to do, you know, cute titles or things like that, and they had a relation to it, but, you know, I looked at artists like Jasper Johns. I looked at, you know, conceptual art really is one of those, you know, the point where, okay, text is the art, you know, carries all of it, and you know, there's so many people, Ed Ruscha, I mean, so many artists using text, and now, I mean, it's pretty ubiquitous. I mean, I'm hardly an isolated, you know, incident of that. If you think about it, you know, in ceramics, a lot of evolution is like sociology, right? All the GIs after World War II study art at the university. All of a sudden, ceramic starts to look more like painting. Hey, guess where it's taught? And now, you know, we're sort of in the design decades, you know, so where, again, everybody's taught there. What's the big growth area in universities? Design. Gosh, art looks a whole lot more designy, and you know, and I'm not a graphic designer, but any artist that uses text has to know something about type.
Yeah, you must have picked up quite a bit of design skill to pull this off, because there's so much of that. Mm-hmm. You see the screen dots, like a newspaper effect, and, mm-hmm. and everything else. It has a lot of kind of a mixed media feel to it, and, mm-hmm. and mass media too.
Right. I'm really I'm kind of at a point where I would be really bored to see if my work were about the way I draw every time. I mean, the paradox here is they're all me, because I do them and hand render them and it's there, but it's all based off objective stuff, you know, an image I've photoshopped in you know, halftone dots or what have you. And I think it's kind of, I see it as a metaphor for the way we move in the world. We take things that aren't us, that are objective, and we use them subjectively. You know, we take the distance things and we make them personal. And so that's kind of, you know, I could photograph these. I could make these more, you know, less hands-on, but I like that, you know, that mass-produced and not look.
Mm-hmm. A little bit about technique. Mm-hmm. Could you give me a synopsis of how you create that look on mm-hmm. on the Raku pieces, and how did you develop it? How long did it take to come up with this scheme?
It's done by successive overglazing, it's called. So basically you put the glaze, the liner glaze on the inside, you do a clear glaze on the outside. Since it's a buff or light-colored clay body, you're going to have a shiny off-white surface. And then on that, I paint usually a couple coats of one or a mixture of ceramic stains. They're basically a color and a flux, something to make it melt. And those, the imagery is derived by combinations of Adobe Illustrator and Photoshop using image and text, and then I project that with an opaque projector on this raw stain, and using the real high-tech tool, a sharpened chopstick, I sit there and scratch away the parts that, you know, are going to be white or whatever the bottom layer looks like. Some of it, you know, my working method, frankly, it's sort of like thinking about the way music is recorded. I'm a big music fan. You know, put myself through grad school working record shops, and you know, artists like Eno, the whole layering approach, you know, and the Sarge, of course, the Sarge and Pepper thing is kind of the example of that. The other thing is I work digitally, so you're in layers, undo layers. You have to think about that. So I do successive firings to build up those surfaces. You know, sometimes I can get it all maybe in one overglaze firing. So there's always at least two glaze firings, sometimes three, very rarely any more than that. I have, you know, become pretty good at, and I don't use a big range of colors, so I can get it down to a few.
What's your schooling background and whatnot?
I was a jewelry undergraduate major. I went to Indiana University of Pennsylvania, where I stayed to do an MA in ceramics because I knew I didn't have a portfolio strong enough to go to grad an MFA program. So I was able to stay two years, sort of shift over from metal to clay. I was doing some mixed media stuff, more and more clay, less and less metal. And so that's why I ended up in doing the MA show in ceramics. I was working in record stores, so I basically did a lot of what would look to people now like 80s new wave imagery. And I decided the stuff I saw, you know, when I was working was a lot more interesting than much of the stuff I was seeing in art history classes. So it was all like masking tape, stencil, all commercial glazes. It was, again, a constant form, just a commercial plate mold. So these very hard edge, abstract kind of imagery. But they still were related, you know, to people and sort of almost like cartoon cultural types at the time. Basically, the people went away. The more hard edge stuff stayed. I started to make more molds, cutting styrofoam into very geometric shapes. I think I've always been, you know, from that point on, interested in clay that didn't look like most clay. You know, for one reason or another, it looked like a form you'd never, you know, hand build or whatever, really tight and geometric. Now it's really more the idea that I just want to pick imagery and stuff from the range of culture. You know, make art that looks more like what people see in their day-to-day world in different contexts. And I did it my MFA at Indiana State University under Dick Hay, who's a really eminent ceramist, and that was really sort of my, you know, technical finishing school in terms of giving me choices and understanding of process and stuff.
Are you from Indiana originally?
Not at all. I'm a New York boy. I grew up between New York and Pennsylvania. Just sort of ended up in Indiana, you know, but it's kind of by chance. And then my first job out of grad school was Milwaukee and then to Duluth, so where I've been since 1986.
The write-up that you have out here references A side, B side effect of flipping over an album and how the story is told on both sides of your pieces in this show. And I guess that must not be an accident given the record shop background.
No, it's not. I mean, it's another cool thing about the form. I mean, again, the practicality. If I'm going to project imagery, you want two relatively flat sides or you're really fighting a lot of distortion. And, you know, there's some clay artists I can use, cite as sort of examples of that idea. But then, again, not to be bored, you notice that the language on there varies from piece to piece. That's to say, sometimes you're looking at two opposite sides are related, but not really together. Sometimes you're clearly looking at a sentence that starts on one side, continues on the other. And I know that, you know, there's no arrow saying start here, you know. So I have to kind of build that into the design. So there's a cue of a capital letter or a punctuation mark, because then the person comes around. And, you know, I want to just try to come at these ideas in a number of different visual ways, visual styles. You know, like you say, some are pretty snarky. I mean, some aren't. You know, it's not like I'm always sort of being ironic. And that, again, too, I really like. You know, you could have a lot of tones. I admire writers or artists whose work, you know, if it's always the same tone, it becomes kind of a shtick. You know, and I don't, you know, I don't want these to be, you know, one level off from the far side or, you know, something like that. Not that that isn't good work, but that's really not what I'm going for.
Mm-hmm. Well, people seem to be positively reacting to the installation here, and I think it's going to be a successful exhibition.
It's a great turnout. I've heard lots of good things from people. So, yeah, I'm real happy to be here.
Thanks for talking with me.
You bet.